only. Top temperatures of 13 to 17 degrees. Today FM News, more at 3.
Andrew, thank you indeed. So we've got the goats that sound like Will Ferrell in distress. Yeah, there, yeah, huh? Well, calm down. So we had the goats, then we had the cat with the strongest Cork accent.
Oh, I love that guy, yeah.
It was more of a Kerry accent, in our opinion, I think we all agreed. Now we've got the singing donkey from Galway. You ready?
Okay.
The singing donkey from Galway. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is actually a donkey. This is not a...
That noise there is a donkey.
It's a devil. Very good, isn't it?
That's impressive.
They Marie.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Thank you so much. Today FM's
Rihanna. Only girl in the world today FM. Play the music you love. Hiding afternoon. On 2 to 4 every weekday, but especially Tuesdays. I'm feeling Tuesdays. Anyone in a Tuesday-ish? Anyone feeling Tuesday-ish? Let's do a roll call. I'm Ray Foley. There's JP.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, feeling nice. 0874 100 102. This Rihanna song reminds me of when you won your first Meteor Award. What? Reminds me of when you... This is made up, is it?
Did you make this up? I didn't make it up. What are you talking about?
It reminds me of when you won your first Meteor Award. It was playing when you and JP went on stage to get the award from Ron. Ron, is that true? I don't remember what the song was. I remember we met Alpha Beat. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Was that that time?
I remember there was some sort of press conference afterwards there was a prepared desk with microphones on and you sat down and fielded questions from the press.
And nobody wanted to ask any questions.
Nobody was interested in asking a question.
I remember after that we were walking backstage behind Stuart Townsend.
Was he still with
and
Charlize Theron?
That's who I was going to say. I was trying to think of her name. Stuart Townsend and Charlize Theron.
We fitted right in there.
I tell you. Ron, thanks for the memories. Now I want a slice of buttery brack. We were talking about barm brack with Pamela Joyce earlier on. Yeah, you got a toasted couple of slices of brack with some butter on there. Oh yeah, from Dara. Hi Ray, that donkey belongs to my cousin. The donkey's name is Harriet. This is the singing donkey from Galway.
Unreal vibrato there.
Yep.
Actually sounds a little... Reminds me of Emer Quinn, The Voice.
It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, is that Mary?
It is, yeah.
Ray Foley calling from Today FM. How are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
So come here, you're related to the donkey.
I'm not really.
you're a first cousin once removed, are you, from the donkey?
Yeah.
So your cousin owns the donkey. Are you pulling my leg now? Or what's the story?
I'm not.
So what's your cousin's name?
His name is Stephen McGrath.
Stephen McGrath owns the Galway singing donkey.
Yeah, in Connemara.
The donkey's name is Harriet.
It is, yeah.
Now, tell us, is this just a fluky moment of a singing donkey, or is this a donkey that likes to sing regularly?
She doesn't hee-haw at all.
She doesn't hee-haw?
She doesn't, yeah.
So she generally just makes that noise?
Yeah.
Does she take requests?
I don't think so.
Is she available for bookings at the Red Cow?
Or does she do weddings, or can we get her for a gig? Or maybe we get her in on a session?
Yeah.
She might do a session for you.
She could come in and do a session, maybe cover a few Adele tracks for us. That'd be Hello. And tell us, Mary, are you a very musical family? Like, would Harriet have grown up around music?
No. Definitely not.
That's amazing, actually. That is kind of amazing, isn't it?
What?
Oh, this is a real story, and the donkey didn't do that as a one-off.
No.
This is a regular occurrence.
Well, it just goes to show, Mary, doesn't it, that it's innate. It's innate. Yeah. It's either in you or it's not.
That's it, yes.
Would you have taken
it's natural.
Would you have taken part in, like, Fesh Kjol as kids or X Factor?
No.
Eurostar?
No.
What'd you say the owner's name was? Stephen, was it?
Stephen, yes.
Mary and Stephen and Harriet up on stage. Have you... What are you going to do for us?
We're going to struggle and show. I like it.
Sounds great.
We're going to audition for The Voice.
I tell you what, we'll put you forward next year. Tom Jones will be swinging around in his chair. He'll be like... What's the sound? I have to turn around. I have to turn around at once. Ollie, my friend Ollie, you can stay where you are. Don't push that button. I'm spinning around in my chair. Anne-Marie is pushing the button for us. She's spinning around. Mary, thanks for taking our call.
Thanks a million.
Much love. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. I do like a singing donkey, you know. You know, I met Elvis. Am I doing the roll call? No, I've got more roll calls to get through. Yeah, me out. You got to sing. Any other singing animals, actually? 0874-100-102. And is WhatsApp working again? Because it was dead this morning. Big problems trying to connect to server. ... Now, unable to send text messages or WhatsApps. But I think it's up and running again. Is your WhatsApp all right? 0874-100-102. Well, it is if you're able to text us, I suppose. We'll do the roll call after Choo Choo Mountain, Jax Jones. This is I Got You on Today FM. Ask me what I did with my life. As long as I got you. That's Choo Choo Mountain, and I Got You. You're on Today FM. Play the music you love. On Today FM. As long as I got you. 0874-100-102, texts and WhatsApps. The donkey sounds like the old lady on the slide. Someone's like, oh, the mom. Hang on. So the donkey's over there sounding like this. Very quiet donkey, you have to admit. Go on again. And the Irish mom sliding into her 70s sounds like... You don't mind waiting, do you?
No, not at all, actually.
That's sliding down the slide in Wicklow. An Irish mammy sliding into her 70s. And this is a donkey, a singing donkey in Connemara. And you play the two of them together and you got...
Beautiful.
0874-100-102. Well, lads, there was a frog in my kitchen. A frog in my kitchen yesterday. There's nothing worse than that, a frog in the kitchen. Or a frog in the throat.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
As I tried to get the frog outside, it began screaming. Very unnerving noise. Love the show. A from Lee. I've never heard a frog scream before.
Well, I mean, you'd never heard a donkey sing before today.
Absolutely. You know, you learn something new every day. On show, Raymond, I'm ready for a snooze after a full portion of last night's roast for lunch. I had a very similar experience. I was fasting, you see, because I had to get my bloods.
You're fast?
Oh, I was fast.
All right.
I was on my fast.
A model patient, yeah?
I was on my fast. I had to get my bloods. So I got the bloods at 11:30 this morning, and then I went for a dirty roll, a big, dirty barbecue pulled pork roll. And do you have this, when you have a big feed like that, you just want to go for a little 20-minute nap?
After every single meal, yes.
What is an appropriate thing to eat that won't make you feel sleep? Like soup or something, or a salad?
I think it's the carbs that sort of knock you out. The carb coma, so avoid the carbs.
I can't do that, though. A full portion last night's... I'd be grateful for some of your high-energy broadcasting stylings today to keep me awake. Love the show. Hey. A from Robin Trim. Robert, thank you, sir. The Morin family are on show. Hello, Morins. That's Super Dad Jerry and the four-year-old Carissa and the baby Joe from Jerry. Guys, good to have you. And on show, lads, I fancy yous to make it to the new year at this stage. It'd be rude to get rid of you before Christmas. Love the show for however long it lasts. Hey, from Tony. Tony, we're at day 142 now. We never expected to see 100, honestly, but there we go. And just in case we don't make it, happy Christmas. This is the Day FM. Days aching, nights alone, even after all this time. Great stuff. Lewis Capaldi, Forget Me. How could you forget Lewis Capaldi? He's just too good. Today FM playing the music you love. It's Ray Foley in for your Tuesday afternoon. Good day. Texts, WhatsApps, hellos, how he is. Yeah, WhatsApp is back up and running. WhatsApp was shut down. WhatsApp back online after worldwide outage. JP, you were in bed while the outage was happening. So you didn't even know it was out.
Passed by me.
Yeah, this morning it was the messaging platform WhatsApp has come back online after an outage that affected users around the world. Meta, which owns WhatsApp, said the problem had been fixed but did not give a reason for the disruption. I was wondering, like, what caused that, like? Because because everyone uses WhatsApp now. No one uses the text service. Do you remember SMS? Do you remember texts?
I do, yeah.
Do you remember Snake on your Nokia phone? Do you remember the Express on covers? Nobody texts anymore. Not even like the regular text on your smartphone, like the Apple text or SMS on your Android device. Everyone uses WhatsApp. All of WhatsApp went down. They gave no reason for it. They just said it's back up and running now. But I'm always fascinated. Like, could it be a server? Like, because we've got loads of those servers. You know, those, one of those data centers.
Data centers, yeah.
Is it one of them going offline?
Was there a hack?
Or a pipe? Like a, you know, the pipes?
The text pipe.
Yeah, the text pipe.
Okay, yeah.
No, the data pipers. You know, like the cables, the underwater cables.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Like one of the cables could have been sabotaged by the Russians or something. That's what always intrigued me. But should they never tell us then what it is? Thousands of reports were posted within a half an hour around 8 a.m. BST. British Standard Time, is it BST? So yeah, this morning down for 2 hours. It's back up and running now. And I'm guessing then Facebook's own Messenger app would have been working. Generally what happens is when WhatsApp dies, the Facebook Messenger, that dies as well. We all need to go back to Viber, lads.
Viber?
Do you remember Viber?
Vaguely.
We all jumped on Viber on the onlines. And Telegram is, though. I've been trying to get people on Telegram for ages, which is like WhatsApp, but it's more secure and, I guess, confidential. I don't know, is it like encrypted on either end or something? It's very popular around the world, but I just can't get. What I wanted was myself, my wife, my friends, all of us would use Telegram instead of WhatsApp. Because on Telegram, so WhatsApp can only be on a phone. You can't put WhatsApp on an iPad or anything. You can use WhatsApp on a computer, all right, but you can't really use it. There's no app for it on your iPad. So you can't send it through an iPad. So if you want to share something on WhatsApp, you need to go through the rigmarole of trying to share it another way or emailing it. Another great thing about Telegram is that you can schedule messages to send at a certain time.
Oh, I would like that, yeah, for reminders and stuff, yeah.
Well, there's that, and there's also like, well, it's 11 o'clock at night. I know JP's in bed and he's not going to be up until midday tomorrow.
Hang on, what?
I'm going to schedule a message to send him at 12. I'm not going to send it to him now because I know he's asleep. It'll wake him up. I can schedule it to send. It's a game changer. The only problem is no one else I know uses Telegram. Give it a go. Give it a go, though. Telegram. We should totally start using it. What's this? 0874-100-102. Martin's over there. All right, Martin. 0874-100-102. Martin!
It's Ray.
Yeah.
Check out the cat with the Belfast accent.
Well, is the cat with the Belfast accent not the Cork cat, but they think it's Belfast? That's the Cork cat. I found another cat, which is cat owner convinced pet is responding to them with a Northern Irish accent.
Great title, yeah.
It does exactly what it says in the tin. So I'm thinking the man who's talking to the cat is from Northern Ireland.
You good boy?
You good boy?
Aye.
Now have a listen to the response. It's pretty low. See if you can hear it.
Yeah. You're a good boy, aye? Aye. Aye. You're a good boy, aren't you?
You're a good boy. Ray Foley. Right, stick around. Flo Rida next.
With Supermax and the Plaza Group.
Put your hands up. Flo Rida Club can't handle me. This is Today FM. Playing the music you love. Adding good afternoon. So shut them down. Put your hands up. You know who shut him down. Text WhatsApp 0874-100-102. Viber went into overdrive this morning when WhatsApp went down. I haven't used it in 3 years until this morning. Is it still going, Viber?
Must be.
I remember we all got like 20 years ago. Haven't used it. I must see if I've still got a Viber account. I haven't used it in 3 years until this morning. Who would have thought it? Donal in Cork loves the show. Hey, cheers, Donal. And Ray, what's your verdict on the Dragons from Dan? Oh, Daniel, it was so good.
It's all finished now, hasn't it?
Last 15 minutes of last night's episode in particular was chef's kiss. Very upsetting, but of course that's part of the package with Game of Thrones. Let me have a look. Axes. This is apparently, compared to this time last year, what's the statistic? Something like 40% in terms of searches for axes and hatchets and helmets associated with wood cutting, wood chopping, axes in general. Searches have gone up like 50% compared to this time last year. Particularly among men, we all want hatches and axes.
Right.
There's me axe noises. Please hold.
Hang on. What?
Get down, JP. Get down.
You could have told me before that, Ray.
Duck.
Jeez.
Let me call my axe guy.
You got an axe guy. Of course you do, yeah.
It's a case of the axe.
Are we going to axe the important questions now?
He's my axe boyfriend. This is my... Hey, it's ringing. Matt is ringing. Yeah, axes and hatchets and...
Hello, Ray. How you doing?
Is that Matt?
Yeah, you've reached the Axe Club. How can I help you?
The Axe Club.
That's right.
Tell us, you're the Axe Club. I was just talking about searches and interest in particular in chopping tools, axes and hatchets and whatnot. You're the Axe Club. Where are you in Dublin?
Yeah, so we're based in Dublin, central Dublin, just near Five Lamps.
Oh, right, and, okay, so you're a city centre location. And where would you be throwing axes?
You'd be
throwing them at trees then, I suppose, in that location.
Well, no, we've got hatchets. We do urban axe throwing. Okay. We throw the small hatchets you'd use to chop your kindling by your fire. We throw those at a target about 14 to 16 foot away. And we've been doing that since 2010. We've been doing that since 2010 in the woods and since 2017 in Dublin. So we're Dublin's only axe throwing venue.
Well, shout out to Dublin's only axe throwing venue. I imagine I've never done it, but I imagine it's fairly hard work. Is it, Matt?
Well, people ask me that. Who can do it? How hard is it? Do I need to be fit, etc.? And the answer is no. So if you can imagine picking up a litre of milk, picking up above your head and throwing it across the room at the wall, that's how hard it is to throw an axe.
How much is it? A kilo, is it, or a little more than a kilo?
It weighs 850 grams is about the weight of the axe, so just under a kilo.
Okay,
so it's about the same as sort of 2 pints of milk, give or take a little bit.
I can barely hold my two hands above my head. I'm literally just doing it now, Matt. I'm trying it. I imagine as well, though, that it's quite good. So I've talked about Lego being good for the head and sort of mentally getting out your stresses and your frustrations. I imagine throwing an axe at a wall must feel great, does it?
Yeah, there's an amazing feeling as the axe flies out of your hands and it goes thunk and it sticks in for the first time and you don't get this great clattering as it falls to the ground for your first couple of goes. Then it sticks in, and then it's very repeatable. So it's a very steep learning curve for learning. So, and then it's a very satisfying kind of mindful activity.
You can pick it up quickly enough. Aside from doing axe throwing recreationally, Matt, is it something? Is it a competition as well, or is it like, can you compete in this?
Yeah, so there's loads of different types of axes. So we throw hatchets in Dublin, but down in Glendalough, we throw a double bit axe, which is a much larger axe. It weighs sort of nearly 3 kilos or so. Also, and it's got a much longer handle. And myself and the Wicklow Axe Throwers, there's about 15 to 20 of us. Around about 12 of us went over to Canada to compete in the World Axe Throwing Championships over there.
Wow.
There's around about 150 competitors from all over the world. Some amazing throwers. And Ireland has got its own world champion now, Ciara McGowan.
Wow.
So that's where a lot of these searches have come from. She was on RTE and all the news and stuff like that. So Ciara McGowan, Wicklow Axe Thrower, women's world champion. And also the men. came third in the teams as well, which is pretty amazing. And I believe we came third in the youth category as well. So for a small country,
it's amazing. Once again, we're throwing above our weight. We're punching above our weight, or at least throwing axes. When you say how often do you need to train then for the competitive element of it? Like, do you need to be thrown every day?
It's a great saying. It's a great saying, really, which kind of applies to everything. So when you compete, you fall to the level of your training. So the more you train, the better you're going to be. So on average, if in preparation for the World Championships, I was throwing 100 axes a day for 2 months before I went to the World Championships.
Wow.
That's the kind of level you'd need to be putting in. It's not a huge amount. You don't need a special diet or anything like that. Beards are encouraged. But it's just about focus and repetition.
I suppose as well, no more than what I was saying about the Lego, that you can't be doing anything else. You can't be on your phone. You can't be replying to an email. You can't be thinking about work. The only thing you can be focused on in that moment is taking the axe, throwing it at the wall and making it stick.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so pure and so simple. This also, axes have been around since prehistoric times. So, you know, mankind has had a connection to axes for, you know, many thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
As a tool.
It's in our DNA. Axes are in our DNA. Did you see Prey? Did you watch the movie Prey, the last Predator film?
No, but there's all sorts of films that got axes in.
Yeah, did some amazing axe thrown in Prey. Definitely worth having a look. And yeah, I'm sure it's part of cinema. Listen, do you have a website, Matt?
Yeah, axeclub.ie.
Oh, that's so easy. Axeclub.ie.
Nice and easy. Yeah, come and join the club. Come and throw axes.
Are you open every day or is it certain days a week?
We're open sort of Friday, Saturday, Sundays for kind of have a go sessions all weekend, and then during the weekdays it's kind of private events, so it tends to be a lot of corporates that tend to come in. But all you need is six people, so five friends, and we'll get you booked in for a private session.
Six people and a willingness to throw. Listen, man, thanks for taking my call.
No worries. Anytime.
Cheers, man. Bye, 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 bye.
Good luck. Bye, bye.
That's Matt, my axe guy.
Your axe guy. Of course. Yeah.
It's a case of the axe.
Oh God.
Just if you want a real axe, you can throw a hatchet. Relax. No.
Ray Foley.
Come on, work with me here. At least I'm trying.
Super Max and Super Subs. Delicious subs, soups, and salads. Always fresh, always tasty.
Kate texted, can I buy a voucher for axe throwing for a Christmas present? Kate, there's only one way to find out. It's axeclub.ie. I did axe throwing this year in Wales. It's brilliant and addictive. I find I hit the targets better when someone has really peed me off. We had 30 odd kids with us and some of them were cheeky brats. Let all the frustration out from Debs. Yeah, axe throwing seems to be a thing. Definitely worth giving it a go. Right, stick around and play Elton John, Dua Lipa.
Can you
next.
Take a call for the cash machine?
And my axe.
That's it, John Julie from Coco Heart. This is Today FM, playing the music you love. Talking about axe throwing a couple of minutes ago, talking to Matt from axeclub.ie. They're based in Dublin, which there's axe clubs all over the place now. Get an axe, middle aisle of Aldi or Lidl. Start throwing it. I pay for it before you start throwing it, though, I would suggest. And my axe. Do you know what, JP? For Halloween, you should consider going as a dwarf.
Gimli. You think I'm a ringer for Gimli. I might grow the beard out. Is that what you're suggesting?
From Lord of the Rings, you get a fake beard.
Listen, man, thanks for the suggestion,
And my axe. Yeah. You might not be tall enough for Gimli, though. Hi, Ray. The girls and I did it in Cork a few months ago. Literally the best crack ever and so good to get out any frustrations. Crying laughing face from Orla in Limerick. Orla, thoughts and prayers. Hopefully everyone's okay. And lads, I used to work at an axe throwing place here in Nova Scotia. Love the show. Hey. A from D.A. Foley. D.A. Foley's regular texter. It was in Nova Scotia where the whole axe, the world axe throwing thing was happening.
Back in August, yeah.
And Ireland came third. So, in your face, Nova Scotia.
With Supermax and the Plaza Group. Now open at the N17 Plaza in Tuam.
On the way in the next hour, we got Stardust, we got Shapeshifters, we got the Today FM cash machine call, and my axe. Stardust, the music sounds better with you. This is Today FM, Tuesday afternoon. We play the music you love. Ireland, good afternoon. How are you? Raise my name. JP's in as well.
How are you?
What have I got for you here now? Oh, this is James Corden. He made his first appearance back since Baltazar Gate. This was he was banned from a restaurant in New York for two incidences in the restaurant, apparently. But he had been off, apparently, off his TV show, so he was back on for the first night last night on the show, and he needed to address it in some way.
How's everybody doing? Did everyone have a good week off?
I did a total switch off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, no phone. Have I missed anything? Did I miss any news?
Was that whole thing about your man banning you from the restaurant, James? And you're getting in trouble for shouting about the eggs. So you know how this... We were talking about this last week as well. The owner of the restaurant in New York said he's barred for life because, one, he was shouting at someone because he found a hair in his food. James Corden last night said that was in 2014. That's kind of like... That's not letting it go, really. And then there was the other story, the more recent story, where the two eggs were mixed. There was egg white touching egg yolk in the frittata. And he said, I want free drinks. This is the restaurant owner's version of events. I want free drinks for me and all my friends. Have a listen to, because he said, what he's saying is here, he's saying he's apologizing, right? But what he's apologizing for, have a listen, here it is. See, what I'm asking is, where does he say sorry, like?
As her meal came wrong to the table the third time.
This is what he's saying. He's saying what happened when the meal came for the third time. It was the third time coming over, food is wrong. That's when he loses his rag.
In the heat of the moment, I made a sarcastic, rude comment, right, about cooking it myself. And it is a comment I deeply regret. Like, I understand the difficulties of being a server. I worked shifts at restaurants for years. I have...
Did he? Because I thought he started as a child actor. Yeah. I thought he was like a kid.
He filmed a bit in a restaurant once for the show as a bit.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's what he's referring to.
I have such respect and I value anyone that does such a job. And the team at that restaurant are so great. That's why I love it there. But here's the truth of it, right? Because I didn't shout or scream, like I didn't...
He's making a point of the fact that he didn't shout or scream or get angry.
Nice guy.
He's pointing that out.
Get up out of my seat. I didn't call anyone names or use derogatory language.
Because I was mostly perfectly fine, he's trying to say.
I've been walking around thinking that I hadn't done anything wrong.
Okay, right, yeah. So what are you apologising for then?
Right, but the truth is, like I have, I made a rude comment and it was wrong. It was an unnecessary comment. It was ungracious to the server.
There he is. It went well anyway.
Oh, that was awkward.
This is what everyone's saying online, that it was awkward. One person observed, this is on Twitter, I know he has he can't do right for doing wrong. I know this is a he can't do right for doing. This is the thing though as well. No matter what he does, he would have been better off just going, see that, did I miss anything? Ha ha ha. And not saying anything further. Just making a joke about it. But James Corden's scripted, unscripted, on-camera apology just feels like making more of a meal of it. It does kind of, doesn't it? This is too many words spilled over this event. Just post your notes app statement and go, oh yeah, that screen grab of like, oh yeah, that thing happened. So sorry about that. Won't let it happen again. It probably would have worked out better rather than doing the whole thing.
Sheesh.
On the telly about it. Sheesh indeed, Lizzo. You're telling me, sweetheart. This is To Be Loved at Today FM.
Girl, I'm about to have a panic attack. I did the work.
Lizzo, at To Be Loved, this is Today FM.
I'm ready.
Playing the music you love. Ireland, good afternoon. Yeah, I was thinking about the James Corden thing and his apology, and talking about that a couple of minutes ago. It's kind of non-apology. There's an apology there. He's apologising about saying something rude. I'd be better off cooking it myself, is what he said, and that's what he's apologising for, a rude comment. But then he's also pointing out that he wasn't shouting, he wasn't losing his cool. I was perfectly even though I was perfectly lovely, except for this one comment. Well, sure, it was the one comment that gets you in the trouble. Do you know what he should do? He should do what I do. Take a leaf out of my book and just never leave the house. Eat and drink in your own living room all the time. You'll never have a problem with your rudeness. No one will ever complain about you online if you never leave the house. Do you remember, actually, when James Corden was punked, pranked by Ant and Dec years ago on their Saturday Night Takeaway? Do you remember this? Do you remember seeing this?
Vaguely.
Oh, it was years and years ago. It was when he was in America, and they did some sort of, like, parking attendant thing where it was like, you can't park here, you can't come in this way. And if you go back and watch that, I'm sure they've put it on YouTube, but if you go back and watch that, you'll see his real reaction to that. And I remember watching that going, oh, he's getting really mad.
It's interesting when you see people in that unguarded state. David yeah. Beckham, they did a prank on David Beckham once. I think it was the unveiling of a statue. It was a horribly ugly statue. Yeah. And he was actually fabulous about it.
Because he handled it fine.
He did.
It's interesting. It shows, again, don't leave the house. Eat and drink in your own living room and you'll never get in trouble. Right, who's this? This is Miss England. See, Miss poor old Miss England. She says people give her stick for being ginger. Miss England. Her name is Jessica Gagan. She beat 29 other hopefuls to the crown of Miss England. This is in England now. This isn't in Ireland.
I get you, yeah.
Understand?
Hence the title.
Geography.
Yeah.
The 27-year-old is studying a master's degree in aerospace engineering at the University of Liverpool. She said, part of my winner's speech, I said about getting girls into piloting and engineering careers as it's massively male-dominated. Well, I imagine it is. It's quite a fella, blokey sort of enterprise. And I suppose encouraging young women into the field, into the skies. Is it? Tell you what, let me call my Miss England guy.
Right. You've got a Miss England guy.
I've got a Miss England guy that can give me some...
this guy's some beat-up.
Can illuminate the situation.
Something else, you know that.
Bullied at school for being a redhead. It's ringing,
by the way.
It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, is that Jessica?
Yes, it is.
Miss England Jessica Gagan, everybody. Hello, Miss England, Your Majesty, how are you?
I'm not Your Majesty, but I'm fantastic, thank you.
How freshly crowned are you, Jessica?
Just over 1 week, so I'm still pretty new to it all.
Right, but yourself and Charles are the newest, very fresh royals over in England. How are you? How are you adjusting to your new status as Miss England?
I'm loving it. I'm very busy because I do a master's degree in aerospace engineering at the same time.
I was just reading that you're doing your course as well as... So what kind of... How are you splitting the duties? Are you just going to have to give up college for a little bit?
I'm trying to roll with it for the time being. Okay. Luckily enough, because I'm in my final year, when it comes to May time, I only have one exam. I've got some exams in January, which should be fine. Right. But yeah, it's all like the coursework element. So because engineering, you have to build stuff. So I'm in talks with uni at the moment to see if they can help me out at all. But for the time being, I have no plans to quit at all because I want my master's, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I suppose you didn't know how things were going to turn out in terms of the Miss England bit, so you stuck with college until you were crowned.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, I've spoken to university and they've given me the option because I'm on an integrated course. I can actually finish this year with a bachelor's and then come back and do the master's
again in another stage.
I've got loads of options, but ideally, I'm not a quitter. I want to get it all done this year.
Don't say I'm not a quitter. That's what Liz Truss said. Let's see what happened to her. What college are you in?
I'm at the University of Liverpool.
Oh, I'll give them a call. I've got a guy in the University of Liverpool. We'll make it work. We'll make it happen. Come here, I was reading. Fair play. You're trying to get more young girls, young women into the field of fields of engineering and aerospace. You're trying to be an inspiration. Well, you're showing that it can be done.
I am, yeah. I'm really, really passionate about it and I've been doing it long before Miss England was on the scene as well. I think that's why I was scouted for the competition last year. So obviously I didn't win last year, but I think they scouted me because of the aerospace engineering because I'm always trying to create content. I feature on podcasts and all sorts of different things to try and engage girls, like going to school and just show them what engineering is. So now that I've got this platform, hopefully I can reach even more.
Yeah, this is it. You see, as Miss England, you'll definitely be in a position to show that it can be done. You'll be more inspiring and reach more young women. And absolutely, in terms of balance, definitely more young women in the field. How did you get into it yourself in the first place?
How did I get into Miss England?
No, no, not Miss England, into the engineering and the aerospace field.
My mistake, sorry. Yeah. So I wanted a degree which gave me a lot of different options, and I spent years researching this. Like, I didn't go to university when I was 18 like everybody else. Right. So I was like, right, I want something with variety, good job options, I want good career progression, I want to be employable internationally, and I just wanted to put myself in the best position possible coming out into, like, obviously a very saturated graduate market. And the two which were really ticking boxes for me were medicine and engineering. And I picked engineering because my dad always said for years and years and years, Jess should be a really good engineer. So that's it, really.
You're hired, Jessica. I was only asking you, how did you start, and here you nailed it. You nailed the interview. You're hired. You start Monday. You've got the job. You start Monday. Tell us about this bullying story. I was reading about this. Was actually last week this came out. Bullied at school for being a redhead. Miss England's first ginger champ cries as she reveals cruel bullying. Were you picked on for being ginger?
I was, yeah. So this is the thing that obviously the papers like to report on, because negative news sells, and it's really not been what my campaign's been about at all, to be honest.
All right.
But I decided back in April time, me and the director were talking, and she was like, you know, you can inspire quite a few redheads if you, like, tell this story. So I did, and it completely blew up. And basically, yeah, I didn't have much confidence at all in my early years of school, because I feel like a lot of the things people say to redheads as passing comments, you're told, oh, it's just a joke, you know, shrug it off. But a lot of the time, people wouldn't say that to anyone else for any other reason. And people, like, don't realise the weight in their words. And I used to carry that around with me all the time. I know a lot of other redheads been in the same boat. And it really, really weighed me down for a long time. And then I gained the confidence then to, obviously, I got some friends. I became assistant head girl and sportswoman of the year, 10 A's and A stars. Like, I really flourished by the end of school. And I wanted to tell the kind of happy ending to a lot of kids, like, it won't last forever.
Well, this is it. Becoming Miss England is surely the happiest outcome, or one of the happier outcomes you can imagine. See, the thing is, you got to come to Ireland, because we're all ginger over here.
I'd fit right in. You know what? I think my surname might be Irish as well.
Gagan. It could be. You spell it G-A-G-E-N. But then there's Gagan. There's an Irishified version of it as well. Gagan. Which could work as well. So you're probably one of us. Come over here. Nobody. This is the thing. It's not as much a thing over here. There are attempts to kind of. People will take the mickey out of you for anything in Ireland, though. That's the other thing as well. But there's less of a stigma, I suppose, associated with being redhead. Come over, we look after you, we make sure you're well taken care of, nobody be picking on you. And once again, congratulations, Jessica Gagan, Miss England.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking to us this afternoon, madam.
Thank you.
And good luck, enjoy your year.
Thank you so much. See you later.
You're Miss England guy.
That's my Miss England guy. That's actually Miss England, though, in fairness. Joe Carey in bed. This is Today FM. Carry in bed at Today FM. Play the music you love. Ireland, good afternoon. Yeah, on the James Corden thing. Text, WhatsApps, 08741. Sorry, I'm after getting. My watch is going nuts. 08741-100-102. Thank you indeed. How can you be allergic to half an egg from Niamh? This is the story, isn't it? Because James Corden said that his wife has a serious food allergy, so he had to send it back, and that was the problem. But it says that in the restaurant owner's telling, it was an egg yolk omelette that had a bit of egg white in it. Is it the case that you can be allergic to egg white without being allergic to egg yolk?
Well, if you're seriously allergic to either one, you wouldn't have anything with an egg in it, regardless.
How could you separate it out and be 100% sure that they're separated? Anyway, he said that his wife had a serious food allergy, and then that's what the issue was. The manager must be stuck for business to say he took to Twitter about James Corden. He banned him and then unbanned him. Not very businesslike, methinks, from Sinead. I bet business is going to be booming for that fella. Wouldn't you be like, we have to try this place out?
I think Balthazar is an incredibly successful restaurant anyway, so they're not short of cash.
Yeah. Is your man Irish? McNally, his name is. I wonder, is there an Irish link?
I think he may own a whole ton of restaurants.
This fella does, yeah. He does.
Okay.
Is he an Irish fella? Do you know?
He sounds Irish.
What is he saying sorry for? If someone got my food wrong 3 times, I'd be fairly raging myself. Here's the thing, though. Us Irish, or at least in my case, I'd be like, no, it's fine. I'll eat it. I don't mind. If you're hungry and that happens, then he's only human. Hangry is a serious condition for Martin. And complete publicity stunt by James Corden and the restaurant owner from Sharon. Sharon clearly not buying
Ray
it. You know what, Sharon, you're dead right too.
With Supermax.
I'll take
home
it.
Of the 100% Irish chicken breast sandwich. Visit supermax.ie.
That's all right, isn't it? Beyonce, yeah! Yeah!
Pull it up, cuff it up.
That's called Cuff It. Beyonce, Today FM, we play the music you love. It's nice to see Beyonce doing pop music again, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm good.
Text on 0874 100102. Who was it earlier on? The one, the cash machine again? Was it
Gerard, wasn't it?
Gerard, yeah. And he thought it was Imelda calling on the cash machine, but it was Barry Dunn. And he answered the phone, he said, "Hello, darling. Hello, darling."
The old smoothie.
Does that lad on the cash machine not have his wife's number saved on his phone? ? From Breda. I imagine it's because my wife occasionally, when she calls from work, it's from a blocked number. So you're like, no one else will be ringing me from a blocked number. It turns out it's Barry Dunn. Unless, of course, he wanted to call Barry Darling. Unless he's having an affair with Barry
with
Dunn.
Supermax and Super Subs. Delicious subs, soups and salads. Always fresh, always tasty.
For 30 grand, I do for 10. Stick around, I've got Clean Bandit on the way.
The car brand behind Ireland.
Ain't it crazy what love can do? Crazy what love can do?
Ain't it crazy what love can do? Today FM, playing the music you love. Ireland, good afternoon. It's Ray Foley for your Tuesday afternoon. That's me. JP's around here somewhere.
Over
well.
Here, right?
Oh, hi, there you are. And last night, late, it wasn't an amazing. Did you watch this? Oh. Dragon. Oh, sorry. Started too early. Dragon. Dragon, dragon. Dragon, dragon. Started too low, oh man.
You did.
Dragon. Dragon, dragon. Dragon, dragon. Dragon, dragon. Dragon. Dragon, dragon. Dragon, dragon. Yeah, House of the Dragon last night. Final episode, the last episode of the first series of House of the Dragon. Dramatic stuff. There was dragons and there was thrones. I'm not ruining it for anyone because I know people would be.
Were there houses?
There were several houses. Yeah,
and they belonged to the dragons.
They'd like semi-detached. They'd mid terrace.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
They had road frontage. Then ones with like two driveways.
Okay, yeah.
And they'd really high ones and little tiny little small ones. They'd dormer ones. Loads of houses, loads of dragons. I tell you what, you'd be hard pressed squeezing a dragon into a dormer, into a dormer bungalow. But that's the challenge, I suppose. That's why you gotta check it out. The dragon. Dermot Bannon coming in.
Now you see here what I'm thinking.
Floor to ceiling, and when you open up the sliding door here, in comes your dragon. Scenes. Hashtag scenes. Yeah, it was fantastic. That's all I can say, really. It was fantastic. I haven't followed the whole way along, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. There's been some criticism about it. Like, say what you like about it. It was nowhere near as bad as that final series of Game of Thrones. And they're setting up a whole new series, a whole new dynamic, loads of new characters, whole new plot lines, little hints towards the Game of Thrones, what comes in the future. It doesn't depend on that in any way. Go and check it out. It's like all of the intrigue and politics and backbiting and it's very good.
0874 100 102. William has been in touch on dragons. He says, Ray, a House of Dragons question for you. Is it just me or do you find it weird when the characters curse? Every time I hear them curse, I'm giving out because in my head I'm like, that's stupid. Cursing wasn't invented back then. They're being so unrealistic, but then 2 seconds later, a dragon flies by, and I'm like, hell yeah, dragons for the win. Also, last night's episode was epic, says William.
So what? So you know, the people swearing, is it? The dragons aren't swearing.
Yeah, he's down on the cursing because he reckons that's unrealistic, but he's fine
curse
with the dragons. That's just grand.
We're big swearers in our house. My wife doesn't swear, but everyone else does. And I haven't noticed it. Although, that said, I have really noticed, or I've bumped against, the swearing in the Midnight Club, which seems weird to me. It's a bunch of teenagers in a hospice. I can't really reveal any more than that. But there's frequent swearing in that. And when the kids swear, I'm like, oh my, oh, oh Oh my God.
I blame the parents.
That's very rude. Also worth a look, it must be said. What else have I got for you? This is the nightclubs. The nightclub opening. Yeah, there's talk of change to legislation to allow pubs to stay open later. Licensing law reform to see pubs open until 12:30 a.m. So the bars can stay open until 12:30 a.m. And nightclubs remaining open. Get this. This is going to blow your mind. Nightclubs remaining open in this country until 6 a.m.
What could possibly go wrong?
Now, I've been doing the maths on this, okay? And with nightclubs staying open till 6 a.m., that means nightclubs will still be open 9.5 hours after I've gone home to bed.
One more time.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. That's maths.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Maybe nine. At a push, nine. Daft Punk, one more time. This is Today FM.
Give me a kiss. If you want to go and take
a ride with me. Nelly, ride with me. This is Today FM. Hey, thanks for taking a ride with me this afternoon. I'll come back and join me tomorrow from 2. That's radio. You're welcome.
That is
radio. Today FM, we play the music you love. Marion's been on about the nightclub staying open until 6 o'clock in the morning. Ray, that's nuts. Nightclub staying open until 6 a.m. Some people don't know when to call it a night. I was one of those when I was younger. So obviously, if someone is up buoying all night, they're going to have to sleep all day. They won't be able to work. It's a disaster for Marion. But Marion, that's called being young. That's fine for young people. And then let the rest of us, we'll go home to bed. But let the young people that want to stay out, or indeed anyone that wants to stay out, let them stay out. That's the other thing as well. There'll be no more of that rush, or at least that's been the argument. There'll be no more of that mad rush in the last hour before the doors close and they kick us all out. Quick, get a feed of drinks into you and then spill out onto the street in a disaster. It might be more graduated now. We're just too old for that nightclub scene now. They should have changed the legislation about 15 years ago for us to benefit from Charlene. Charlene, I believe... I concur. I agree with you entirely. This is no good to me. I'll be at home in bed by 20 to 10. And what's the benefit of it? And Sinead asks a very good question. Will Eno be Eno?
Dempsey.
Eno. What kind of way did you say Eno?
Eno.
Will Ian Dempsey still be doing the... Will he be doing the breakfast show from the nightclubs? He nearly starts before they close from Sinead. Well, actually, Sinead, the plan is that he'll just go straight from the nightclub.
Okay.
Straight in to
that'll
do
be
the
like
show.
A shuttle bus situation and play.
Well, there'll be a place nearby, so he'll be within staggering distance. Guys, we're out of time. Matt Cooper's on the way next, thank God. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 2. Have a lovely Tuesday evening. Ray Foley.